In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel tells us the truth, not just about God, but about ourselves. In theory, this sounds great, but in practice, it can pretty quickly get uncomfortable. It doesn't take very much unedited truth about us to puncture the carefully curated story we tell ourselves and get us squirming. But gospel means good news. And even when it gets us squirming, it is still good news if we have the courage to hear it. Because only the truth can really, truly set us free. Liberation is sometimes sweet and sometimes painful, but it is the business of the gospel, and it is always worth it. Today's gospel story of Jesus catching the disciples in an embarrassing whispered argument can tell us a great deal of liberating truth about God, yes, but especially about ourselves. Jesus is once again trying to teach his disciples that he will be betrayed into human hands, be killed, and rise again. He had tried to explain this to them in our reading last week, but it didn't go very well for the disciples then either. But Jesus keeps coming back to it. It's difficult for the disciples to accept, which serves as a clue that it may be difficult for us to accept too. We, like the first disciples, want a God who will sweep away all enemies by might, who has strong arms that we can call on to make sure that we do not suffer. But Jesus is going to Jerusalem to love even through his own murder. Instead of a throne, he will take a cross. Our God acts through love and persuasion, not force. And in this world, that means also ruling through suffering and service. This is what Jesus is trying to get through to the disciples when he catches them arguing with each other about which is the greatest, which of them is the greatest. Parents and teachers can imagine the looks on the disciples' faces when they get to the house and he asks them what they've been talking about. I have seen that look before. I've probably had that look before. While he talks about his own impending death, they argue about which of them is the greatest. And this despite the fact that Mark's gospel hasn't given us any evidence that any of these poor guys have many valid self-promotion talking points. Even with the building tension as we moved toward Jerusalem, this is the comic highlight of the Gospel of Mark. How could they get it so profoundly wrong? Even if they're just kind of dense, how could they be so unfeeling as to argue about this while Jesus talks about his own death? This, I think, is where the gospel tells us something true about ourselves. The disciples are not just dense or unfeeling. They are worried and anxious and in pain. They have left everything to follow this guy and have seen miracles they wouldn't have been able to imagine before. People have been healed and demons have been cast out. In just the last chapter of Mark, Jesus has fed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Earlier in this chapter, though our weekly readings skipped over it, they have seen what we call the transfiguration, when Jesus takes a few friends to a mountaintop and starts glowing, and Moses and Elijah appear and talk with him. The disciples have put everything on the line for this man, who they believe is the chosen one of God, and now he is saying that he is going to die. I wish that their reaction were unbelievable, but it actually rings pretty true to me. In the face of anxiety, stress, uncertainty, and conflict, we humans get weird. We find ourselves doing things we would not normally do, and especially we reflex to concern about our own status and security. When our world becomes unstable, and especially in the areas that matter most to us, our own security and status take on outsized importance for us and begin to distort our priorities and behavior. For me, at least, it's no longer how could they, but of course they did. I do too. We all do too. And yet, we are brought into the kingdom of God without status or rank. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. The object lesson with a child here, which I'm afraid is going to be repeated several times until Lucy is a little bit older here at St. Paul's, where Jesus takes a kid and says that welcoming a child is welcoming him, has nothing to do with cuteness or innocence. It is about status. Because in the ancient Near East, a child has nothing to give you in return for a welcome. There is no exchange of honor. The point is being last of all and the servant of all, because this is what citizens of the kingdom of God are called to do. The gospel tells us the truth about ourselves, but not for the purpose of making a psychological profile to be put in a filing cabinet. It tells us the truth about ourselves so that once we know, we can change and grow. It tells us the truth as an invitation into a deeper transformation by God's love. In times of uncertainty or conflict or anxiety, we may reflex to a concern about our own status and security. We probably can't eliminate a reflex, but we can recognize it, and by God's grace, sometimes overcome it. We can see how our priorities are being distorted, or even, God help us, gently help each other see it. And bit by bit, as we see who we are, we can become what we are called to be. The kingdom of God is ruled by persuasion and love. It is a kingdom without an aristocracy except that of service. It is the kingdom of our Lord, who forgives us and transforms us. Amen.